So my commentary stems from a sentence by Wittgenstein, which is in fact quoted in two quotation marks. A whole world is contained in a musical sense. And my topic is, what is this world? Of course, it is connected with the general topic of this journey. This sentence, you will read it in Zettel, paragraph 173. What is this whole world, while whole, and while a musical sentence would be a container of a whole world? What does it mean? Just a notice before starting. This presentation also deals with the notion of motive, you know, because this is a motive which which supports the whole world. The whole world is in the motive, contained in the motive. The sentence has a motive. So it's all. It also, the question is also, what is a motive exactly for Wittgenstein? Of course, you understand that it is a musical expression. Motive is musical. I have shown how, in the Tractatus, the musical paradigm still stands as an anti-analytical, although structuralist, strategy, aiming at bringing out the formal at the expense of the notations used in formalism, yet with the help of the notations. I have done that in an earlier paper, which I read, namely in Innsbruck, but also in other places. So it is, in fact, the following part of this work. This paradoxical expression is used, paradoxical with the help of, at the expense of notations. This paradoxical expression is used by the German musicologist Karl Dahlhaus, who is a great musicologist, anti-Adornian and recent, to qualify the use in music, of a formal code by Schoenberg. Interestingly enough, Dahlhaus, this German musicologist, mentions Wittgenstein's proposition, the last one, 654, to corroborate this Überwindung, overcoming attitude, towards a notational system. The formal in question, that is, the form of sense at the level of internal relations, therefore, is not just a set of logico-mathematical formula, that the strength of the formal is in Wittgenstein language also. Music exemplifies a kind of formal which is to be distinguished from formalism in the external sense. Note that the musical paradigm is introduced to qualify internal relations. The passages 401, etc., deal with internal relations, and the musical paradigm is used in this context. Note that the musical paradigm is introduced to qualify internal relations, which are not explainable nor reducible. There are matter for understanding, not for logical clarification. Clearly enough, Wittgenstein would not have chosen music as an analogon for projecting form of sense if he had not conceived it, music, as an autonomous art, and this is what I had to demonstrate beforehand, an art the forms of which are self-sufficient and which, therefore, constitute a valuable model for comparison for approaching to the completeness of expression of sense. That's Zenus. One could find this idea current in Wittgenstein's time, already contained, for instance, in Eduard Hanslick's so-called formal theory of music. Hanslick, H-A-N-S-L-I-C-K. Hanslick, a well-known historian of music at the end of the 19th century, wrote about The Beautiful in Music, which is in 1893, a widely read pamphlet against Wagner's writings in the same years. Eduard Hanslick played an important role in the expansion of this idea of autonomy of the musical, especially in the field of music. It's interesting to see Karl Dahlhaus himself mentioning the cult of so-called absolute music as expressed by Schopenhauer, which Hanslick inherits, and which will turn, as he says, into a dominant paradigm in Europe through the 19th century. Hanslick was considered as the first formalist or formal defender of the formal in music aesthetics. He's the first one to have pointed out to the formal aspect of expression. Form is content, content is form, he used to write, which he says is a musical content, form is a musical content, and not the feelings as claimed by the older theory of sentiments. Melody itself lost its affective connotations. Absolute music, thus, came to mean not only independency from the meaning of words, like in opera, you know, but music in which the instrumental dimension is the most important, the quatuor, the trio, etc. This view, originally rooted in Romantic music at the end of the 19th century, and was bequeathed to the early 20th century spirit of modern music, as Karl Dahlhaus shows in his book Absolute Music. Roger Scruton, musician also, and writer on musical aesthetics, also very Wittgensteinian, as you know, Roger Scruton does not ignore it, who, in his Aesthetics of Music, Oxford, 1997, revives the importance of formal content, by asserting that the experience of the musical is this very inseparability of form and content. Of course, I have the formal content, but Granger formal content in mind. You know that Granger, at the end of Form, Operation, Objet, puts together in close connections mathematics and music as regards the formal content. The way it marked Wittgenstein's conception shows to what extent absolute music, which constitutes the Schopenhauerian background of his Tractatusian views on music, still had this romantic flavor. Autonomy of music, die raffinierstete alle Künste, the most refined of all arts, might well be a vestige of Romanticism in the logico-linguistic garb of modernity. Why music? By being a model of autonomy of sense, music is atemporal. As the reader of the Tractatus knows, things occurring in time escape language. Thereby, there is no place for the temporality of a grammar in the Tractatus, inasmuch as logical grammar itself is timeless. Wittgenstein's later assertion, according to which time is embedded in grammar, in one of his grammatical remarks, could not have been formulated at the time of the Tractatus, in which time, like space, are relevant to internal relations. Space, time, and color, being colored, are forms of object, he says, 20251. Do we understand the sentence, red and green at the same place, at the same time, which illustrates a case of logical incompatibility as an expression having a temporal meaning? Certainly no. The expression at the same time does not speak temporally. We take it as a modality of primary formal relation of purely logically impossible coincidence between opposite colors. The present of such a coincidence is atemporal. Yet, as we have noticed, the so-called musikalische Gedanken, an expression which, as we have seen, is also Schoenberg's one, rather stands as a projected entity, let us call it a projected expression of musical thought, of musikalische Gedanke, and not as an ineffable and timeless superior model lying high above projected forms. As such, it is, and that Wittgenstein says it very clearly, it is on the same footing as the score, the partition, the performance, a concert in a hall, even the sound waves, maison sonore, and other things. And this is an interesting feature. You know, the musical Gedanke is not higher than these projected forms. Interesting feature, which shows how, although music has something formal, it deeply belongs to a realm of things that are submitted to modifications. So far, what music expresses is to be understood in time, perhaps. That is why to question expressions and elicit how, by hearing a melody, one thinks in music, as in language, that comparison, is one and the same contention, a contention which, in the so-called second philosophy, assigned to music the crucial role of main paradigm for understanding a sentence in language, similar to a meaningful gesture oriented to a goal. So, understanding a phrase in language as hearing a melody. Wittgenstein insists on saying that what music expresses is nothing interior, nothing contained in musical phrase as a kernel in a nutshell, nor something melody would transitively say. At this point, it is the analysis of the phenomenon of understanding which is to give the key. Understanding a phrase in the language is indeed viel verwandter with understanding a musical phrase. The point is presented in the paragraph 5-7 of the philosophical investigation as a grammatical one. Music, therefore, helps to characterize comparability of acquainted kinds of understanding at a grammatical level. A following remark stresses a difficulty. Comparability to what extent? In the sole case of music, you might be tempted to answer the question of what is common to them. You could, for instance, allege the subsistence of a community of structure in the melodic line, dieselbe Linie, a community of pattern, that's Anscombe's translation, with this strength and this tempo, as Wittgenstein says. So far, such a mode of comparison introduces a game of comparison of examples that owes nothing to any kind of deductive procedure. Moreover, nothing underlying the very possibility of comparison is to be expected that would justify such an approach to affinity of structure between sentences. That's why Wittgenstein soon confronts with the problem of non-transmissibility of a content. First, because the problem is not that of grasping the content. Grasping a content in the sentence is just hopeless. And second, because in order to understand what music says, you have no other means than comparing, which also means that through comparison, one is driven to finally experience the limit of comparability itself. Hence the question, in what sense, given the fact that understanding is also translating a sentence in another sentence, which is equivalent in meaning, this replacement could be finally impossible. That's paragraph 531 of the philosophical investigation, especially, as Wittgenstein mentions, in music and poetry. In reply to this question, we have to look at the grammar of music as a certain species of projection in a space of variations. Through music, we now deal with what Wittgenstein characterizes in a remark of 1932, as a kind of temporalité embedded in grammar. So music and temporalité embedded in grammar. What one has to understand is this. On one hand, the notes written on the staff, or score, are what they are, in a necessary disposition that could not be otherwise, like the symbols in a logical script. This unchangeable feature is one thing. On another hand, you could, in the perspective of grammar, which is no longer strictly logical, after the Tractatus, introduce variations of something that could be wrongly considered as a fixed paradigm, but is in no case a pre-existing invariant. Thus, the production of new Gestalten, new forms, take place in time. Wittgenstein insists though, on saying how important it is to repeat, although repetitions consist in gesturing differently at and around the same motto or motive in absence of a pre-existing model. That's Culture and Value, 1946, 52e page. Do we here still deal with the autonomy of the musical? I maintain that yes, but in another sense, or in another dimension, in the dimension of time, in the strange medium of time, as he says. I will now show in what sense. What is played with this strength and this tempo is differently reproducible, but not as such identically repeatable. The criterion of autonomy has become non-repeatability. Sorry. Something still resists equivalence of reproduction of the same entity, since there is no content contained into the melody. The idea that there would be a pre-existing paradigm clearly is an illusion. What is now to be understood is that replaying a theme rather introduces a new part of our language, something we learn as a new gesture. The non-transmissibility of an unvarying content is and remains a feature of autonomy, but differently understood. That is understood in the realm of grammar applied to music. What then is experienced? I admire a minuet. I cannot say, take another, it does the same thing. What do you mean? It is not the same, that Wittgenstein. Note that Schoenberg says similar things about experiencing a period on the basis of musical examples, for the Mozart Schumann in fragments which has been gathered on musikalische Gedanke that have been collected in a book recently published under the title Style and Idea. A long passage about Fasslichkeit and Zusammenhang, comprehensibility and coherence, developed these two essential features of a period having a beginning and an end. A phrase, Schoenberg writes, is the smallest structural unit, or a common multiple, that's an expression of Hugo Riemann, a kind of musical molecule consisting of integrated musical events possessing a certain completeness. The term phrase means structurally, that's in German, yeah, a unit approximating to what one could sing in a single breath. Single breath. That's Schoenberg also writing that. Hence a kind of unity displayed in a certain time, musically speaking. That's Schoenberg in one of these fragments on musical thought. Musikalische Gedanke. Here, of course, phrase and motif are synonymous. The word motif, though, refers to something perhaps unconscious, the unity of which, je dis perhaps unconscious in two quotation marks, it's another topic I cannot develop here, the unity of which is largely due to rhythm with measures of variable length, which give it its figural genericity. The shape or contour of the motif makes it apparently repeatable through variations which might overcome monotony implied in repetition, repetition of features like intervals and rhythms. What we are dealing here with is musical aspects comparable to aspects of the expression of the face, that's Philosophical Investigation, paragraph 536. What is understood resists transmission of something, as we have acknowledged. There is an unreplaceable aspect in music which constitutes an essential obstacle to articulate transmissibility, übermitteln, or communicate, although it is no longer something pre-existing, remaining the same in multiplicity. Such is what music teaches us. It is precisely this very image of experiencing a content in music on which some interpreters would be tempted to ground the impossibility of defining it, because then it would be, they say, something intuitive, which is to be destroyed. The target is less a critique of Bergsonian grasp of intuitive content than instant solipsism of the Schlichian sort, that is, a certain kind of phenomenology implying a wrong conception of time description. Now, the temporal dimension of music. From such considerations, one might infer that they shake the principle of autonomy of the musical as we have defined it above. My hypothesis here is that they modify, but not ruin it. The critique of grasping a content music helps to formulate does not radically put this principle in danger, but rather offers a different way of appraising the kind of paradoxical process that is involved in expressing what is understood and understanding what is expressed in the case of music, which is interesting for language, for Wittgenstein. Through movements, signs, movements are Geberde, are signs of understanding, and performance of playing. Performance is essential. Performance of playing, what is understood. You cannot separate the two. Yeah? There are two facets of the same thing. This inseparability of two facets doubtlessly implies an interesting continuity between aesthetics and creation that is worth noticing and presupposes an aesthetico-pragmatic kind, I cannot find a better expression, it's not lovely, of articulation. So far, the fact that the so-called object of understanding is always related for Wittgenstein to the situation of hearing a melody. It's very important. The melody does behave like a sentence with, he says, all musicians say that, at least the musicians who stick to melody, because now it's not the case any longer. The melody does behave like a sentence with a beginning, a middle, and an end. That's very important. The unfolding of these moments occur in time, but a time which is to be phenomenologically qualified, if possible. To assert that language evolves or gets unwinded or unrolled a long time is to assert something undefinable. To the question, what is time, it's just impossible to answer. You know this Wittgenstein assertion. Hence, the necessity to deal with time through the experience of hearing a melody, even if one cannot define this experience objectively. Hearing a melody implies two contrasting aspects. First, perceiving the unity of a sometimes complex through a motive, closely associated with a rhythmical form, like an arabesque, and Wittgenstein would then draw, as you know, this shape, an arabesque, that's a motive. Like that. You know that in German, but pardon, you will, some of you will perhaps confirm it, in German, das Moment is the same as motif in German language. Not der Moment, but das Moment means also motif. Yes. Thank you. And motive then is a kind that das moment, that's also that, yes, as a kind of cellular, non-dividable whole of meaning. And second aspect, grasping different moments in a temporal flux. Concerning the first, Husserl would advocate the instantaneity of the unity of consciousness as an act. And as regards the second feature, consciousness as an experienced process in duration, which lasts for the time moments occur in succession. That's the lectures on the intimate consciousness of time. Husserl displays the modalities of the consciousness of time, as he says, grounding, as Wittgenstein, his analysis on hearing a melody. He distinguishes an instantaneous grasp of temporal objects from a consciousness of continua, or flowing phenomenon. Both aspects, instantaneity and flowing, are discussed by Wittgenstein. I cannot examine in detail the discussion of these two aspects within the frame of hearing a melody. I will only show how music is of a great help in grasping the kind of present time one deals with when understanding a sentence by playing it in a language game. A situation the musician, all the music professional musicians, know perfectly well and experience themselves in composition. My first hypothesis is that the kind of present here in question is different from the atemporal kind of present involved in internal relations in the Tractatus, as when we say red and green cannot be in the same place at the same time. Again, in the present time, in the case of hearing a melody, first, a kind of regularity. One has to remember that the aspectual experience of a seeing as implies an alteration, verändern, of what is seen, and that the link with imagination, Wittgenstein writes, eine Ähnlichkeit mit dem Vorstellen. That remarks on philosophy of psychology. The same with so hören, so hören. You must hear this melody, diese melody, like this, and he adds, play it correspondingly. Dann auch entsprechend spielen. Paragraph 995 remarks on philosophy of psychology. And add a new form. That goes. So far, the principle of inseparability of form and content we have recalled above sounds differently. Now, it's no longer guaranteed by logic. The key of the inseparability lies in the response, in reaction to an effect on the hearer. The salience of an internal movement now testifies ein Eindruck, imprinted on the hearer, allowing a phenomenon of so hören, or aspect, manifested through gesturing. This process of moving with expressive music, which reminds us of Hans Lick's famous forms moved through tones, Tönen und bewegte Formen, provides a form of recognition of expression. However, there would not be such an ability to move with music without the benefit of what Roger Scruton calls an emotional type of education in aesthetics of music. And as such, and this is why, of course, he stresses the emotional ingredient, such irreducible to scientific expertise or mere sociological conditions of an aristocratic sort, for instance. This is a way to escape, of course, the objection against elitism. I don't know if he escapes it, but I don't. That's another question. By referring to moving, Wittgenstein turns his back on phenomenological solutions brought, like by Husserl, in terms of an experience of consciousness, such as instantaneity or flowing or duration. But true enough, in this respect, William James is perhaps a better target who believes in an experiencing meaning, but I leave this aside. However, the production of an Eindruck, impression, under the salient impact of sounds in language does not suffice to make the recognition of form possible. Form has accomplished its full cycle only when what is striking me has become mine. This is a phenomenon of incorporation or assimilation, as Wittgenstein himself puts it. A gesture is neither innate, or instillated from outside, but, he says, assimiliert, through the use of sounds, last writings, paragraph 712. This phenomena, in turn, finds its internal temporality in an experience of a so betont, an experience from which the previous features of logical articulatedness have left room for a sequence of beats, such beats in turn give the phrase what McGuinness calls its subjective accentuation. The beats, les battements, given by numbers, of course, help to give a physical description of time by, for instance, using the metronome. Wittgenstein is interested with measuring time with beats. In other words, it's a form of regularity, of course. Yet, here, One is not dealing with a metronomic conception of regularity. And the beats we mention refer to another type of regularity. As long as music means an art of, I quote, organizing duration with sound elements, time, so understood in the physical terms, seems a possible object of description, and one could easily talk about the musical temporality as a specific kind of time, connected, though, with a subjective accentuation. The beats punctuate are experiencing a thema, a heureux Kunstform, in an intensive manner. Culture and Value, 1946. So, with what kind of regularity, which is not metronomic, are we dealing? Wittgenstein was not mainly interested in time as a physical system, although his considerations of the sounds of language in his later period of philosophy of psychology seem to open morphological questions. The early quantified approach to sounds and rhythms, especially upon which he ventured under Charles Myers' influence in his laboratories around 1912 in Manchester, had rather driven him away from such experimental investigations. The reason is that what has to be grasped is not so much the external regularity of quantifiable sounds and rhythm, as ein, as he says, unartikulierter Fortklang eines Klanges, eines Gedankes, a reverberation of non-articulated thought, in language as in music. That is precisely aspects. Then I refer to Remarks on Philosophy of Psychology, paragraph 1036. It is therefore only through a common world of shared forms of life conveyed by such aspect, that is culture, that the musical phrase can be understood, while the hearer can expressively manifest what he understands by a gesture. This is what the paragraph 173 in the Fisch, in the Zettel, makes us understand with quotation marks, though with a supplementary clause, it depends who says it. That's into brackets. The who indicates the true meaning of the word mentioned in the sentence we are quoting. It is not the word understood as the totalité of the states of affairs, Sachverhalten, as in Tractatus 201, nor the contingent world of physical events. It is a world composed of our shared forms of life, culture, closer to the whole, closer to the organic whole, although not organicis certainly, as the one mentioned in 4002 of the Tractatus. This is a kind of whole that can be contained in a sentence, if understood in the right manner. Depends on who says it, and the quotation marks. Of course, this way of being contained reverses the orientation of thinking sense in a set of words, which is an expression of the Tractatus quoted above. The whole now precedes the set of units which are sentences. This reversal indicates that we are now dealing with aspects, far from any part whole conception, in fact. It is a whole, or better, das Ganze. I can never attain except through aspects. So it's not compositional, it's not the part whole composition. It's das Ganze. You attain or you aim at through aspects, Ansichten. As Wittgenstein confesses, for instance, in one of his Vermischten Bemerkungen, in a rather Nietzschean style, jeder Satz meint immer schon das Ganze, also immer wieder dasselbe, und es sind gleichsam nur Ansichten eines Gegenstandes unter verschiedenen Winkeln betrachtet. That's 1930. Let us now focus on this apparent simultaneity between understanding what is expressed and expressing what is understood at the level of the hearer. A phenomenological approach, as well as a physical one, will not succeed in discovering these features of so-called, and the German is, concomitants. The expression in German is gleichzeitiges Bestehen or Zusammenwirkung. We are closer here to the etymological Latin sense, being with, accompaniment. That is what we have to understand by correspondence, entsprechen, spielen, and play it correspondingly. Between the moment when I hear a melody and the moment when I make something with what I understand, when I hear it. The Fisch, Zetten, paragraph 159 to 162. And this does not mean that these two processes, understanding and hearing, occur in coincidence at the same time. You have to hear this lead like this or like that, and you play it correspondingly, implies, as precised above, an effort of imagination for grasping, an alteration, verändern. This occurs at the present time of hearing it, au présent de l'écoute. This is what hearing as means. That's Zettel, Fisch, paragraph 159, and Remarks on Philosophy of Psychology, first volume, paragraph 995. I suggest that it is rather a question of co-présence, concomitance, than a real simultaneity, or, and I would even dare to say, a co-presence of an anthropological sort. Like in Wittgenstein's remarks on Fraser, Golden Bough, when it is observed that a tick goes together with a dog. That might be very shocking for some of you. It's a kind of logical relation, meaning that necessarily, so to speak, in a form of life that occurs, you know, necessarily in a form of life, therefore, of course, contingent, but a form of life which could not be otherwise. One element, it means concomitant, that one element cannot be without this or that other element. Such a phenomenon of concomitance rather looks like a ritual of a ritual sort of being together than like a temporal simultaneity. Here is my second hypothesis. A ritual kind of temporality in music is a core of Wittgenstein's cultural analogy with music in his grammatical inquiry into understanding and meaning. Here is another proof that the world contained in the musical phrase is culture, hence the importance of who says it. We have now understood that culture, rather than a content, is all that is contained, this or that world, in a musical phrase. The motif, therefore, is tightly connected with culture. It provides it its real home. So far, temporality here has to be appraised from a cultural standpoint, and this is what music teaches us. This anthropological lesson, Wittgenstein had already drawn it from somebody I quoted above, Charles Myers, although, as he also confessed, he came to lose confidence in the fecundity of experimental science to which Charles Myers had devoted himself by promoting ethnological investigations of music in primitive societies, and he was especially working on rhythm. That was in 1912, and I mentioned it. That was in Manchester, and you know that Wittgenstein worked on rhythm in his laboratories. And that was experimental. So what Wittgenstein retained is the anthropological aspect of music, but he was not interested in experimenting scientifically. From a musical standpoint, if therefore hearing a melody means to grasp a whole world on this double mode of understanding what is expressed and expressing what is understood by gesturing, by playing it correspondingly, it is clear that the temporality we are here dealing with is a musical sort of constructive temporality. And musicians here would agree again. They would agree on saying, first, musical temporality is specific. It is not time in general, of course not. Second, it is experienced through a combination of hearing and performing as the two facets of the same non-temporal process in composition. They all say that, you know. And third, hence music offers us an image of such a possible construction or representation of times, of aspects of time. Yet the corresponding act of playing what is heard as this or that, for example, a beginning or an end, in a beginning, in an ouverture, I think that Freischütz of Karl Mayer von Weber, beginning is, you know, measure moment, takes place in a certain kind of present, not temporal. Fish settle paragraph 159 and further 162. Yet, what sort of present are we talking about? And I come back to this leitmotif almost. Neither of a specious present, the meaning of a present is unclear. What is present reality? Is reality present? As in a phenomenological approach to present, nor of a flowing present, or intuitive duration, differently assumed by Bergson, William James, and Schick, nor a physical system of time. The present here sounds like what different composers call playing in the present, playing the game in the present, as we instance, for instance, this melodic line, as if heard as it was a conclusion of this development. This present is articulated in performing a piece and is nothing but played. By playing it, something written comes into existence. In these respects, Bach's musical offer, L'offrande musicale, seems very speaking. A contemporary composer from Portugal, Emmanuel Nunes, talks about une écoute mouvementée. I cannot translate this in English. Mouvementée, I don't know how to hearing with movement, moved hearing. As, Okay. At the attitude of the composer while he writes music. Debussy also provides revealing examples of that junction between hearing and performing in a constructed approach of top to time under different aspects, continuous or discontinuous, and I refer to a very good book on Debussy by Boukourechliev, the Bulgarian composer. And there is a very good analysis of the construction of these two opposite constructing aspects, continuity, discontinuity, fluidity, or on the contrary, discontinuity of instance. And he presents them. The point is that he does not master well the philosophical vocabulary, so sometimes he talks about phenomenology of Debussy, which is not right. It's not phenomenological. It's really a construction of aspects of music, of representation time in music. It's really constructed. It's with notes, the score, rhythm, measures, and all that. By saying the So, according to many professional musicians or composers, the present of the game, joué au présent du jeu, is the present of a formal accomplishment through movements, and not at all the present of time in itself. Music is played by the instrumentist and the composer, and is heard by the hearer, just gleichzeitiges bestehen zusammen wirkung. This co-presence is purely musical. Art makes it possible. The movement marks this kind of present to enhance the importance of the demonstrative, this motive, this melody, played with this strength, this tempo, the specificity of which makes what is understood expressed. Valéry has a kind of approach also to these two facets, which cannot be separated. Understood expressed, non-transmissible, and as such, non-repeatable. In absence of a describable experience of meaning, music also testifies the role of the first-person direct knowledge, in the sense of MacDowell, which resists an analysis in terms of knowing how or knowing that. To sum up, apart from the negative lessons music helps us to draw, no grasp of intuitive content, no introspection, etc., etc., concerning language, musical understanding, in particular of a sentence associated to hearing a melody, positively shows what it is like to understand meaning through grasping aspects or Ansichten of a cultural Ganze, of a cultural to whole, but also contributes to constructing an image of so-called temporality, to which the twofold phenomenon of hearing gesturing corresponds. But in no case should we expect from music a better conception of what time essentially consists in. Instead of saying after Wittgenstein, imagine a form of life comes to imagining a language, I am tempted to conclude after Arthur Danteau, imagine a language as a system of representation, like music as a Gebärde system rather than a system of uses, imagine a language and you will read a style of culture. It is why it is correct to say that as regarding the whole of culture in a musical sentence, with quotation marks, what is indeed given is a phenomenon of so phrasiert, that it is phrased this way and not another one. That's in the Fisch Zettel, 164, Philosophical Investigation, and different other paragraphs. So phrasiert. So, thank you.